dismiss our children at Children's Church. I ask you to find your Bibles. Judges chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. Real quick word of announcement, Miss Diane wanted me to remind you that Teen Kids starts at 5 instead of 5:30. The Bible study does start at 5:30, and the children go for the same lesson that the adults do, and that gives us the opportunity to have conversations when we go home in the evenings or throughout the week. We will remember. Love that song. Thank you so much, choir, for singing that to us and reminding us that we need to remember. Today's text, we're going to see the nation of Israel. They didn't remember. And that's a sad thing. We're going to look at some of the reasoning behind why they did not remember. But Judges chapter 2, verses 16 through 23, I'm going to ask you if we'll stand and honor reading God's word this morning. They read like this. The Lord raised up judges who saved them from the power of the marauders, but they did not listen to their judges. Instead, they prostituted themselves with other gods, bowing down to them. They quickly turned away from the Lord, and away from the God of their fathers, who had walked in obedience to the Lord and His commands. They did not do as the fathers did. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for the Israelites, the Lord was with them and saved the people from the power of their enemies while the judge was still alive. The Lord was moved to pity whenever they groaned because of those who were oppressing and afflicting them. Whenever the judge died, the Israelites would act even more corruptly than their fathers, going after other gods to worship and to bow down to them. They did not turn from their evil practices or their obstinate ways. The Lord's anger burned against them. He declared, "Because this nation has violated my covenant that I made with their fathers and disobeyed me, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations that Joshua left when he died. I did this to test Israel and to see whether they would keep the Lord's way by walking in it as their fathers had. The Lord left these nations and did not drive them out immediately. He did not hand them over to Joshua." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you be with us as we look at your word. I pray, Father, everything done and said this morning is according to your will. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd hide me behind the cross. Father, may it be you and you alone, the one that's seen and heard. Father, if there's one here that does not know your Son, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, Father, your word shares that today is the day of salvation. I pray, Father, they'd make that decision today. Father, if there's a brother or sister here that's not following in your statutes and your commands and not reminding, not teaching, not learning, Father, may they draw a line in the sand. May today be the day that they take those steps to be in your word. For it is in your Son, Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So let me just ask you a question as we get started. How would you know anything if you were not taught? Well, the answer to that, we wouldn't. We have to be taught the things that we know. Too often we're guilty of thinking, you know what, I just know that because I know it. Well, somewhere along the way, you were taught or you had experience with that subject or that thing that you are participating in. And it's important for us to recognize the teaching that we receive, whether it's from parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friend or foe, whatever you may say. We learn things along life's way by experiencing much of life. And in the same way, God's Word always comes from being taught. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. So today's message, we're going to focus on the core biblical principle, if you will, that we as Christians should be following after. We're going to focus upon the vision that I feel like God has, and He has implied and impressed upon my heart to share with you over the past couple of years or so. This one word, discipleship. Discipleship. I think it's something that churches for several generations, as we see here in God's Word in Judges, it was something that they were supposed to be doing, but they were missing the mark. They were missing the point. They were not teaching one another. They were not allowing themselves to be taught. who God is and what God has done, so the next generation could know and understand these important principles about how much love He has for you and for me and for all the people of Israel and for every person that takes breath. Discipleship is the key ingredient that we see. And in today's text, it may be a little unique as we look at the word discipleship, but it gives real life events of people who knew about God, but then the next generation did not. Somewhere along the way, there was not a connection between A and B. And you cannot get to C if you first don't cross A and B. You have to follow the examples that God has given us, and follow the instructions that He shares for us to go after. So our text, as we see here in Judges, is a trying time in the life of Israel, but they brought the things upon themselves. Many of the obstacles that they faced were brought upon themselves because of their disobedience, because of their lack, first of all, to drive out the people completely as God instructed them to do. And when this took place, the false gods that were there in the nation, though it's not in their text, it's a story that's written in earlier in Deuteronomy and Joshua. They didn't drive the people out as God had instructed them to do. And because of their lack of obedience, the false gods remained and became a snare to them. And they started following after these false gods. Let's just pause here for a moment and look at the life of the United States of America, if you will. And we were established on Christianity. We were established on worshiping God the way we saw fit. Today, in most of America, I don't want to say all, but most of America, they don't even know who God is. And they for sure do not know who Jesus Christ is. And there's a lot of variables, I know. Sin is in a way. But I think one mark that the church has missed throughout history that needs to be reevaluated is that one word we look at the beginning, discipleship. We need to be teaching who God is. We need to be teaching what God's Word shares. We need to be teaching that there's hope found in Jesus, there's hope found in Jesus alone. And when we're not doing that, we're missing the primary commandment that Jesus gave for us. Now, the first was love the Lord your God, love your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. But when He was leaving this earth, ascending into heaven, He said, go and make disciples. Teaching them what to observe. Baptizing them by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's God's Word, not mine. Too often we're guilty of missing the mark. So instead of remaining loyal here in their scriptures, Israel had wandered away from their faith. They were worshiping idols. They were indulging in violence. And they became just like the other nations. And that really grabs my attention. They became just like the other nations. Why did God call Israel out? To influence the other nations. And they were allowing themselves to be influenced more than they were influencing others who God is. You see, they were called to be a nation that was going to share that there's hope coming. There's hope in God alone. There's a Messiah coming who's going to pay the penalty upon the cross that you cannot pay. And your debt is great. And He's going to pay it in full. But God's people did not listen. But when things got bad enough, too often, here's what happens. Even this, see if it does not affect our lives today. When things got bad enough, then the people prayed. Too often, that's exactly, church, what we're guilty of. When things get tough, then we pray. Instead of praying for when a thing gets tough, we're ready to go. We have God as an afterthought instead of the forefront. We have God as He's coming in, He'll come in and He'll save me, which is a truthful statement. But if we're neglecting to include Him in our life, in our lifestyle, God is not obligated to listen to you. He is faithful. He is just. But He's not obligated. It's a heart condition that we as His creation has. Because of sin, our choice to rebel against God and to turn away from Him. You see, Judges chapter 2, verse 10 tells us about Israel, and I think it holds true in our own lives today. It says this, the whole generation that knew Joshua died. After them, another generation rose up who did not know the Lord or the works that he had done for Israel. And that makes me kind of sick to stomach to think of how that took place. They just had victory after victory after victory. And they didn't know it is. They didn't tell one another. They didn't celebrate. What about us in the United States? If you have surrendered Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have victory. I'm not sure. I know. There's variables. There's sins in the picture, and we're sinful people. Even Christians, we're saved by grace. Why are we not sharing more than we are? I know there's people sharing. I know I'm preaching to the choir, if you will. But when do we draw lines? I'm not sharing anymore. If we're drawing that line, we're drawing a wrong line. We need to be following after the steps that God has called us to follow after. Discipleship. A responsibility that I feel that God's people have neglected for much too long. Over the last couple of years, we as a church have become refocused on becoming intentional with discipleship. The process began by myself having several conversations. And it wasn't nothing that Greg could do, because Greg, I promise you, cannot orchestrate what happened and what took place. I won't share with you all of it, but I'll give you a little tidbit. It was a God movement and a God moment. Because as I became pastor here, 18 months into it, I started thinking, Lord, what's the next steps? What direction do you feel as I need to go in, that the church needs to go in? What direction do we need to follow in? And through a pastor friend, I was introduced to the material that you know as a Call of Joy and Call to Growth by Billy Hank Jr. And here's what grabbed my attention. I was in school and paid for all of that myself at the time, and during, it wasn't a class, but during an event that I participated in, the question was asked to the group in which I was a part of was this: what type of discipleship is your church plugged into? I don't want to tell you how small my hands became. Because I knew as pastor, I had a Sunday school, yes, discipleship. This pastor, one-on-one, focus on discipling individuals. Sunday school is just a part of it, but discipleship is also one-on-one. And I couldn't raise my hand and say, this is what we're doing. So God brought back the memory of Pastor Friend bringing to my attention about a Call to Joy and Call to Grow. God moving and working in this moment, sharing, Greg, you need to be plugged into discipleship. You need to be teaching. You need to be taught. Greg, the church needs to be plugged in all along. And Greg gets an email from LifePlug. We are coming out with this new material called The Journey. And we would love for your church to get plugged in. I think in a slap place. Lord, you've been working. Is this what you're going to do? I get a phone call. I think the gentleman's name is Matt Morris. We'd love for your church to be a part of this post-church, this kicking off of this new material of discipleship. Would you be interested? If I said no, I don't think I would much longer. So I said, I'm glad to. So in January 2017, we started on a journey through the material as a group of people, studying and growing in God's Word on Wednesday night. I also started a one-on-one individual process of Call to Joy and Call to Grow, in which today, if
my numbers are correct, there have been 32 people that have gone through or are participating in it right now. Praise the Lord. If there's 90 people here, that's 33%. If there's 120, that's 25%. But praise the Lord for the 25%. But here's my vision. Because I'm a firm believer that God's word speaks to more than just 25%. God's word speaks to each and every one of us. It calls for us to be plugged in, to be participating in it, to be involved. Why do you say? Because when a new believer comes into this Christ as Lord and Savior, we have people step up and I love to disciple them. When people, maybe they've been in church for a while and they just have a zeal to know Christ more, to make Christ known, and somebody can come alongside and say, I'll be glad to meet with him or her and we'll place bail and help him or pick up. And who in God's word do you have? Maybe a married couple comes in and they want to learn and grow together. We have maybe a married couple that's already been through it. They say, I want to help teach this young couple to know Christ more than they have got to know. I know. That's exactly what God's word instructs for us to do. It's exactly what he calls for us to be. You know what? That's exactly what the New Testament church is supposed to do. Be willing to be invested in, because if we have nothing to draw from, but we can't invest in others, be invested in, also invest in the lives of others. So they too can remember what God has done in their life. So you can share just how much you remember. Because you see, we're just one generation from a gospel time. We don't want to be one of us. We need to be plugged in. So how in the world do we do this? How does this take place? What does our text here in Judges reveal to us? And what do we learn about discipleship here in these verses of scriptures in Judges chapter 2? Number one, you're filling the blank. How does discipleship take place? Number one is very simple. We are taught. We are taught. Listen to see if this sounds familiar. Star Wars. The Avengers. You know, Captain America, you know, Spider-Man, the Avengers. Baseball. Basketball. Football. That's a household topic. I mean, generation after generation after generation after generation are introduced to these things. Star Wars came out several years ago. I won't try to guess the date. But after a few years, it came out again. So the next generation know what Star Wars is. After a few years, it came out again. And it's recently come back out again. Became a hot topic. The Avengers, the same thing. And we all know about baseball, basketball, football. But let me tell you something, and you know this answer. If Jesus is not our focal topic at the household, we're missing the mark. We're missing the point. We're missing where we need to be. Church, if Jesus is not our focus at First Baptist Union Grove, we're missing the mark. We're missing the point of who he is and what he's done. We're called to teach. Teach. We are taught God's word. It's important for us to keep our focus upon him and him alone. We are to teach our children so they will teach their children, so there's not a generation that's missed. So God's word can be proclaimed to the next generation and go into however long, so far as the Lord tarries, we're sharing with people who Jesus is. And this was the instructions given to the people of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 reads like this. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. These words I am giving you today are to be in your heart.
Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. All this is given 4 through 9 for one reason. I'll not read it for you, but you can look at it. Chapter 6, verse 2 says, So you will know who God is, so your sons will know who God is, so your grandsons will know who God is, etc., and so on and so forth. In other words, you keep the fire burning in your belly for who God is and your desire to know Him. And you ignite the flame within the belly of your children, your grandchildren, as long as you have breath in you, to know who God is and what God has done. Teaching children to follow after Him. How well did the Israelites teach their children? Not too good. All throughout the book of Judges, we clearly see multiple generations being away from God. Why? Yes, I know there's sin, but we see here in our text that they didn't follow because they didn't know at 2:10. They didn't know who God was. So that tells me that they were not taught who God was. You see, they got into this cycle. Sin, oppression, repentance, God's deliverance, peace. How many of us here would love to have peace in this world? I promise you, if everyone came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and they followed after Him, we would have peace in this world. But Jesus said in John 16:33, I have come that you may have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation, but fear not, I have overcome the world. We just strive for, He knows we're made from dust. He knows we're sinners. And He also holds us responsible. We're teaching our children and our grandchildren who He is and what He's done. Number two, when you fill in the blank, how does discipleship take place? We are tested. Israel was tested. One important reminder is this. We don't need to forget this. Test is not for God to see where you are. A test, you see, He already knows if you're going to pass or fail, but a test is for you to see where you are so you can learn, so you can grow, so you can rely on Him. Your faith can be grown. How do we do that? I'll share with you Romans 10:17.
Faith comes by hearing from the Word of God.
So testing is for us to see where we're falling short, to see where we're missing the mark, so we can begin investing and be invested in, to do improvements, to become more and more Christ-like, to become more and more like Him. So, I know what you're thinking. What do you mean, tests? What do you mean, tests? I shared with you a moment ago how after 18 months, I started struggling a little bit. Lord, am I pastor? Am I where you want me to be? And here's some of the things that I started sharing with the Lord. I started telling God, I'm not supposed to be a pastor. You've heard my testimony. I had a friend of mine named Brent Jones came to me at Abraham. I had a horse whisperer event. And he comes, I heard you became a preacher. I said, you're crazy. That's not happening. 6 months later, I had to go back to apologize and tell the Lord used you to prick my heart. But that was God wanted me to be. But 18 months into being pastor here, I started asking God these questions and having these thoughts. I'm not supposed to be a pastor. I'm not supposed to be in ministry. I am a complete failure at this. You know what I started hearing from the Lord? Are you through? It is funny. But how many of us here in this room have had that same thought come through our mind? I can't do this. You know what He says? I know you can't, my child. Just trust me. Let me work out the details.
Lay that burden upon my back, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me carry you through the trying waters. Let me deliver you from the fiery furnace. Let me be Lord of your life. He says that to us. He's testing us to help us grow, not to see who we are, how we'll respond. He's testing us for our growth, for our faith to be strengthened. Paige and I, as we were at that transition, maybe more Greg than it was Paige. I have to include Paige at all. But I was in school, as you well know, but I was paying for it myself, and that's another story lining up for another day, I guess, when you have, you're in college, your daughter's in college, you got another one about to graduate being in college, the numbers start looking big, let's put it that way. How is this going to happen? But first, the Lord tested me at an event that I was at in school. And the question was asked, or shared, how a lot of people, a lot of pastors and people in ministry are quitting the ministry. And I was facing it. I'll be honest with you, I was ready to quit the ministry. So that caused me to research. And I came across Lifeway had this article. It was titled, "Pastors Are Not Quitting in Droves." Obviously, that grabbed my attention. I'm at my wit's end, you might say. Then I noticed a subtitle that said, "Ministry is tough, but so are pastors." That was encouraging, you know it. I'm weak and weakest. But that just really grabbed my attention. Ministry is tough, but so are pastors. Ministry is tough, but so are you. So are you. I may be a pastor, but you're just as much a part of any ministry as anyone else. God has called each and every one of us to be a kingdom of priests. Why? To grow his kingdom. And if our first thought is not growing his kingdom, and it's anything else, if we're not kingdom-oriented people, then we're missing what the text is for. We're missing what he's trying to teach us in the midst of that text. So that really grabbed my attention. So I gave it to the Lord and said, "Not my will, but yours." And then I started, my mind wandered sometimes. I started having this talks come across. At that time, we would have a staff meetings every Tuesday. Kim Forts, Peggy and I were there, and I just asked them, I said, let's be intentional. What are your thoughts if we set a goal? We want to have 12 baptisms in a year. Well, that's right. That's it. That's just one a month. You know what the Lord did? That 15 that year. Praise the Lord. You know what happens if we fail to plan, we plan to fail? If we're not setting goals up for us, we're saying we're not going to reach out and reach them. I come across my mind regularly. God's, "Greg, you set a goal." And I know the Lord, pass or fail, Greg, the person has to surrender to Christ. And I'm not, Greg, you're not here with injuries, I am. But Greg, are you watering? Greg, are you planting seeds? And I was encouraged just to see the Lord at work. Accomplishing tasks that Greg or the staff could not do, but he could. We would trust him and obey the path he taught us by investing in the lives of others. Too often we're guilty, we get in this rut. We're teaching, we're excited, boom, we fall off the edge of the cliff. What's teaching? What am I supposed to be sharing? And we get in our own little area, man, for some reason. We get this rut. I mean, no matter how hard we try to dig out, we're there. We don't mess with nobody, nothing. God says, "Take my hand, I'll help you up." I know life is tough. I know ministry is difficult. Trust me. Trust me. Let me be the Lord of your life. So in that testing, I was taught
I need to be faithful to what God's called me to do because He's always faithful to me. In fact, in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, some of my favorite verses of scriptures, listen to what it says. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for His mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in Him.
Too often we're guilty, just like the people of Israel. Putting hope in something false God, false religion, something other than Jesus. It doesn't matter if it's money or possessions or team or whatever. Anything can be an idol. And when we place it before God, we've got to go away by the Lord.
Third, as far as testing, shared with you, I was in school, and trying to pay for it myself, all these things happening. Here's how God shows up and shows out. We were at Rock City, I believe. I had applied for a scholarship, but there's no way that's going to happen. God gives me a full tuition scholarship to go to school. And God gives me another scholarship to pay for books.
Little things like that. I'm Greg Narl, I'm a sinner. Fail miserably. But little things like that show us just how real God is. And we need not miss it. We need to remember. Adrian, I will let you down. But I'm trying to point you to the Lord one. His name is Jesus.
He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So when God is testing you, trust Him. And have faith. He knows what He's doing. Number three in our fill in the blank. How does discipleship take place? We are judged. Now, I know exactly where you're at, what you're going to say. I want you to just bear with me and listen, because the detail in this being judged doesn't mean what you think. Because the first thing you're thinking, listen here, brother, I know Matthew 7:1, it says, you should not be judging me. Or you'll be judged just like you judge. That's not what this text is saying. That's not what the picture that we get. It's not the reason that God raised up the judges. What is the reason God raised up the judges? It was, here the word judge refers to a work to re-inspire Israel with divine enthusiasm to bring victory by focusing upon God. This judge, if you will, was not someone that presides over you. This judge is one that brings enthusiasm and celebrates who God is. Because you look at the judges, many of them have no reason to be presiding over anyone. You look at Samson, who's supposed to be a Nazarite. He never followed the Nazarite law at all. But he had strength. It wasn't his strength. It's God's strength. He brought enthusiasm. There's several different judges that came along. Men and women. God raised them up to bring excitement to the people in the back of God. So let me ask you a question. Do you remember who shared Jesus with you? That was God ordained. God established someone in your life not to judge you in a fashion they're going to say you're doing wrong. But to judge you and say, my sacrifice is going to be Jesus. But who in your life shared Jesus with you? Who in your life brought that divine revelation? I need to know more about this Jesus. One more question. Who are you telling me? Who do you tell them that?
that's where the rubber meets the road. Shared with you earlier, we're one generation away from the gospel stopping. Will it be you? Pray not. Will it be you? Ask yourself the question, am I investing in the lives of other people to know Jesus as Savior? That's the whole process of discipleship. Yes, it's to learn God's command. Yes, it's to grow in His Word. It's to establish a foundation upon Jesus Christ in which there is no other foundation to be laid. Are you establishing that foundation in the life of someone, and are you nurturing that foundation so they can grow in God's Word? The answer is yes or no. It's not a maybe. God raised someone up in your life to share with you who Jesus is, and I'll promise you, God has raised you up to do exactly the same. That's the mandate of His Word. Are you doing it? Are you doing it?
As we get ready for invitation, there's coming a day that we'll all give an account for the steps, the choices, and decisions we made. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, we must all appear before the tribunal or the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or worthless. We'll give an account to God our investment in the lives of others. And here's what I want to challenge you to be in prayer about as we talk about discipleship this morning. Luke 10:2. Jesus told them, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." I want to be honest with you. You'll pray that prayer. God will answer. Here's what you probably will find out. He wants you to take the first step in investing in the life of others.
Amen.
Because when we see the problem, and we all do, God says that you're a part of the solution. We all cry out, "Boy, why don't you do something?" And He says, "I did. I did it. Father, be with us as we worship.
Thank you.
Miss Ellie